Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Messiah's Advent devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you here on this Monday morning, December 14th. We are 10 days away from Christmas Eve, 11 days away from Christmas Day. And maybe if you're a parent of three children or more or less, or just anyone, you might panic at that thought. Because we're running out of time, right? We're running out of time. But here's another perspective. Remember the traditional Christmas, the traditional Christian, easy for me to say, the traditional Christian way of doing Christmas is that we are in Advent season right now, and that December 25th will be the first day of Christmas, and there will be 12 days of Christmas that will last until January 6th, which is Epiphany, the Feast of the Three Kings, the wise men's visit, which almost certainly didn't happen 12 days after Jesus was born, but that's okay. So much of what we celebrate is based on tradition, but the Bible doesn't give us an exact date for Jesus' birth or an exact date for the wise men's visit, but these are things worth celebrating because Jesus has come into the world as the light shining in the darkness, and that's what gives us joy this Christmas season. It's a rainy Monday morning here outside my house, and still the joy of the Lord shines bright because of what Jesus has done. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son to be the light of the world, the light who shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. Here we sit over 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, and his kingdom grows every day. His glory is exalted around the earth. The joy of your people is multiplied because you are good and you have sent your Son to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to sit on a throne over a kingdom that will have no end, and he shall reign forevermore. We thank you for Jesus. We ask that you would bless our time together in your word. Help us to see your truth as you would give it to us, Father. Teach us by your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today we're looking at a very familiar passage, especially if you go to Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This should be incredibly familiar to you because this is the text that we are using for our Advent series. And Isaiah 9:6 is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible this time of year. We love to hear from Isaiah 6 this time of year, and rightfully so. It is one of the most powerful and profound verses in all of Scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, we're looking at it in the King James Version here because that is, of course, the version that Handel uses for the Messiah. If you were around in 1742, that would be basically the only Bible. Some people still had the Geneva Bible, but for the most part, that had been phased out almost entirely. So when Handel's friend Charles Jennens put together the scripture compilation, which Handel then set to music in 1742, first performance, it was the King James Version. Now I say that because in a minute we'll note that there's some disagreement over whether this is five throne names or four. So in the context of Isaiah chapter 9, there has been a promise given to God's people. It really starts back in Isaiah chapter 7, when God's people are surrounded by the Syrians and the Assyrians, who are in an alliance together and who are coming against God's people, and God's people are worried. They're panicked. King Ahaz is not really a faithful king. He doesn't really trust the Lord, and he's in a panic. And Isaiah says, ask the Lord for a sign in chapter 7. He says, ask the Lord for a sign. Ask him to show you that he's on your side, that he's going to deliver you. And King Ahaz, faking piety, but really expressing his doubt, says, oh, I can't ask a sign of the Lord. That would just be wrong. And Isaiah responds and says, well, guess what? The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. And that means God with us. Now, who is this child, this promised child? Some people have said, oh, he's talking about King Hezekiah, because King Hezekiah was going to be born to King Ahaz, and many years later, the Lord would work through King Hezekiah and bring a great mighty deliverance from the Assyrian army. Well, maybe that was part of it, but that's not the ultimate, because God with us, ultimately Emmanuel, is so much more than King Hezekiah could have ever been. And we look here in Isaiah chapter 9, this child is an unfolding of the same child who was promised in Isaiah chapter 7. And what's said about this child in this verse makes it very clear that this is no ordinary human child. So let's take a look at this verse. For unto us, said twice. Who is the us? Well, it's the people living in darkness. It's the people living in deep darkness. On Friday, we heard those beautiful songs about darkness and the land of death and the deep darkness, and then the light shining, for the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. And that's who this is for. This is for God's people, us, the people of God, who live in darkness, the darkness of sin. Jesus said that all who sin are slaves to sin. The darkness of Satan's accusations against us, his attacks upon us. And the darkness of death, the coming reality that death will bring us separation from our loved ones and, if our sin is still held against us, will bring us separation from God forever. So sin and Satan and death are the darkness, the deep darkness that is on us. But to us in that darkness, the light will dawn, as Isaiah 9 verses 1 and 2 say, and will dawn through this child. A child is born. This speaks to the humanity of this one who will come, for he will be a child born. Jesus was fully and truly human. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and he was a tiny embryo. In fact, when he was just maybe a few days old in Mary's womb, one of my favorite stories from Luke chapter 1, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren, who was older, almost an aunt figure to her, and she had been unable to conceive for many, many years, and she was now about 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary had probably just conceived, to where maybe Jesus was only a few days old, maybe at the most a couple of weeks old, in the womb of his mother. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, John the Baptist leapt in her womb. This is such a powerful statement that unborn children, preborn children, even at the earliest stages of development, are human beings. They are persons. They are people. They are exactly who they're always going to be, right? It was Jesus, the Messiah. It was the Son of God. It was God made flesh in a little teeny tiny, smaller than a grain of rice embryo in the womb of his mother, but it was still the Son of God, still the Son of Mary. And John the Baptist, at 6 months old, maybe 7 months old, in his mother's womb, leapt with joy at the coming of his Lord. This was the Lord. This was John the Baptist, Lord, Mary's Lord, Elizabeth's Lord, even as a tiny embryo. It's a powerful reminder of this important truth, that all life created by God, precious to God, a child is born. He was born in a very ordinary way, in a cave home, probably. I remember Beth and I went to this cave home near the Shepherd's Field, just outside of Bethlehem, to see what a cave home in the Bethlehem area would look like below the Church of the Nativity, down where the Church of the Nativity has been built on top of in Bethlehem. There's also a cave home, but it's been so heavily decorated with shrines and decor and gold leaf and paintings and candles that you can't even get a sense of what it was like originally. So there's this shepherd's cave that sits in the shepherd's town, which is just outside of Bethlehem. Remember, the angel said to the shepherds, go to Bethlehem. They weren't already in Bethlehem. So the night watch, the field of the night watch in the shepherd's town, has this great cave that was probably like the cave home where Jesus was born. He was born in a very ordinary way. He was wrapped in strips of cloth, swaddling cloth, just like any other baby would have been. And then he was laid, not in a crib or cradle, but in a manger, probably on the other side of the home from where people were sleeping. The place where people were sleeping was the inn, and then he was on the other side. But he was a child born. He was a normal human child. Oh, but he was not normal at all, was he? Because he was sinlessly perfect, and he was the Son of God. Unto us a Son is given, the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of God is given in this child who was born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He sits upon the throne of his father David. He reigns over the kingdom of God. That's the government that's on his shoulder, is the government of the kingdom of God, and he carries it. Even as he carried his cross, even as he bore the weight of our sin upon his strong shoulders, he carries the weight of the government, of the leadership, of the princeliness, of the rule, the reign of the kingdom of God on his shoulder. The church is not led ultimately by any human being. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the head of his body, the church. He is the one who carries the government of his people, of God's kingdom, millions and millions of people strong all around the world who bow the knee to King Jesus. And as the king, he has four, I believe, wonderful throne names. Now, some people would say five, and that's perfectly fine. And if you're wondering why the debate is between four and five, it's because in the original Hebrew, there were no commas. There's no punctuation at all. And so it's up to the translators to decide whether this is, his name is wonderful. Now, Jesus appeared as the angel of the Lord to Samson's father Manoah in the book of Judges, and he told him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Jesus, as the angel of the Lord, said that his name was wonderful. So that's true. His name is wonderful. And that actually means not just terrific and fantastic, but the one who works wonders, the one who is supernatural in power, the one who does miraculous things on behalf of his people. His name is wonderful, full of wonders. But in this context, it seems to fit the pattern of the Hebrew poetry here for it to be with counselor, just like mighty is with God, everlasting is with Father, and peace is with Prince. So he's four things. He's a counselor, he's God, he's Father, he's Prince. What kind of counselor? Wonderful, supernatural. What kind of God? Mighty, the mighty God. What kind of Father? The everlasting Father. What kind of Prince? The Prince of Peace. So it seems like it's four throne names with a title and an adjective. He's wonderful counselor. This speaks of his wisdom, to give counsel for victory. That's what a counselor was for in the ancient world. You gave counsel so that people could have victory and could have prosperity and could have success in what the plans and purposes of the kingdom were. The kingdom of light continues to advance against the kingdom of darkness because of the wisdom of our wonderful counselor. Mighty God speaks of his strength. He is El Gabor. This was the sermon yesterday morning at Forest Hill. He is the mighty God, all powerful and strong, mighty to save. He's the everlasting Father. His heart is for his people to provide and to protect from everlasting to everlasting. He never fails. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a little preview of this coming Sunday's sermon, Everlasting Father. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll have a sermon on the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince who brings peace. Peace with God, peace in our own hearts, peace with one another within the kingdom of God. He brings peace that the world knows nothing of. The only peace the world knows of is through subjugation of violent conquest. That's what the Roman peace was. But Jesus brings the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that God alone can give. This is what this wonderful child, son, counselor, God, father, prince brings when he is born. Let's worship him together in music now by hearing from this most beautiful piece of music from Handel's Messiah, For Unto Us a Child is Born, and then we'll pray together.
Thank you.
Amen. I love that piece of music. It is so joyful and so worshipful and just stirs my heart with just gratitude for the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The child born is the son given. The government is upon his shoulders. We can rest in him. We can trust in him. Let's pray to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to be our Prince of Peace, to give us peace where nothing else could possibly give us peace, for being our wonderful Counselor with a wisdom that is truly wonderful, supernatural, powerful, for being our Mighty God, strong to save, mighty to save, vanquishing all of your enemies, all of our enemies. Sin, Satan, and death have been defeated by you, Lord Jesus, for being our everlasting Father, for caring for us in such a way that is beyond our comprehension. Oh, Lord, we thank you, and we praise you this Christmas season and always. Help us to praise you more and more. Help us to love you more and more. Amen. Amen. Well, on Wednesday, we're going to be taking a look at the very familiar Luke chapter 2 Christmas narrative. There are several pieces of music from Handel's Messiah that go with this, and I'm not even sure which one I'm going to share. We can't listen to them all, but I'll try to find something that's most appropriate. And then on Friday, the plan is to be in Zechariah chapter 9. So just continue to join us as you're able, and spread the word to others. Invite others to come and join us as well. I think this is a great way to prepare our hearts for the coming of the King. Have a blessed day in the Lord.